to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with sanctuary for you. Will you sing it unto him? Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen. Amen and amen. Is that what you want to be, a sanctuary for the Lord? Good to be in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Daniel 9, and we'll read Daniel 9, beginning about verse 20. Now, by way of announcements, remember that we will be having our Christmas time together on December the 18th, and we'll only have one service that day, and then we'll have a lunch afterward, and it will be instructed to you what you're talking about, maybe finger food or whatever on that day. But remember that one. And also on New Year's Eve, December the 31st, we'll be having the Watch Night service. Brother Richard Wilson will be with us, Lord willing, to preach for us on Watch Night service. And you can bring finger food, drinks. All of this will be posted outside later. But finger food, you know, and sweets and stuff like that, drinks, right? And then there will be a service on January the 1st, and that's December the 31st, where we're going to have be on Saturday night, and then Sunday is January the 1st, and there'll be a service at 11 o'clock, and we're having, that time together on just one service that day, and we'll be having a dinner together to try to feed everybody, you know, and all fixing together and all for the that one. We're just having one service. Now, I'm getting all these announcements out of the way where, you know, you can't say, well, I didn't hear that, I didn't know that. So on December the 25th, Sunday it'll be a Sunday on December the 25th, so we will not be having no service on that Sunday, on December the 25th, which will be Christmas Day, because everybody will be trying to go with their families and doing that. We generally have ours on Saturday night together as a family, and it'll be all right. But, you know, Sunday services probably be hard because people want to go and be with their families for Christmas and stuff like that. And we're not celebrating Christmas. We're just honoring the fact that, you know, that you do go to get together with your families and have a good time with them. So just remember that. All right. And now, on that December the 31st, on that the Watch Night service. Now, we've got a thing. We're going to put a little notice downstairs, because what we're going to try to do is, you know, a lot of times we come up and people say, well, I forgot about this or forgot about that, you know. But we're going to announce it over and over and over where you won't forget. But it'll be a list now. It'll say like this, because we want to try to at least keep all of the people from, you know, far away in somebody's home. Now, some of us will be keeping some from Tennessee and things and won't be able to take care of that, but, you know, but to you that can, and the sign says, will you keep someone in your home the night of December the 31st? Well, you don't have to go back home to Atlanta and things like that and then come back up Sunday morning, you know, and that way, you know, and it says, and how many? And then there's another one will be on the bulletin board. Who's planning on staying up here and not driving back home? You know, and then when you do, we can get it together and kind of divide it out and make sure that everybody has a place to stay you know, up here instead of having to drive back Saturday night after the watch night service, 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, or something, and then coming back up on Sunday for the 11 o'clock service. So it'll be posted on the bulletin board, so don't forget it, and it will be announced over and over where that everybody will, you know, be notified of it, you know, so that'll cover that. I think that's all of the announcements. How many brought you Daniel 70 Weeks book? I see a few did, but some didn't, so, you know, we'll try to deal with that. But I ask you to bring them because I don't want to have to try to print out everything, you know, have to run off a print off of it. And does anybody in the building now, I ain't talking about at home now, I've got an extra Daniel 70 Weeks book if somebody here does not have a Daniel 70 Weeks book at home. You know, one that you can bring later. If anybody doesn't have one at home, I've got an extra one that, you know, that you can have to keep and all, because it's an old one that I've had for quite a while. And I'll explain in a minute now when we get through, and I'll put it on later again. I think there's 3 different, or possibly 4 different copies of Daniel 70 Weeks. All right. Now, I've checked 3 of them that I had. You know, I've got my old one at home and the new one here, and then I had another one that I gave to Brother Joseph back there to use this morning too. You can't keep up with the page number. The page numbers are not the same. But what I found, the paragraph numbers are the same. Okay? So what I'll be dealing with, I'll give you paragraph number out of like Gabriel's instructions, paragraph 10, whatever, you know. It will be given that away, so that way you can keep up with it, because it is not the same in these 2 books. There's a vast difference in the page number, but the paragraph numbers are the same. So we'll be dealing with this for paragraph numbers, and I'm sure this will be quite a lengthy series, and I don't intend to try to get in a hurry, because I want to just deal with it in the best that I can for understanding. And you'll see in a few minutes, I'll make a little more statement about it, of why is doing this. But you know, Brother Reed wanted me to come over and do one in Jamaica, and I just didn't feel right to try to go over there and try to preach on it, you know, and there. So I decided maybe, well, one day I might preach it here. Well, then the other day down in the, I saw how it ties right into where, you know, that I'm at. So, you know, we'll just take it now and just go right on with it, because it ties right into the right place. The Lord showed me. But, you know, it's always been an argument, and I'll state this over and over. See, everybody will think, well, Brother Dale's going to preach one service, and we're going to find out whether it's 3.5 or 7. You know, that's all the argument that's ever been over Daniel 70 Weeks. It's whether it's 3.5 or 7. I've never heard, no one, period. You know, now I'm not talking about somebody you heard of, everything, but I've never heard any tapes of anyone. Brother Richard expounded on it some. Brother Woodby has expounded. Brother Moat did on some. But I'm talking about a whole lengthy series on the 70 Weeks of Daniel. I've never heard it explaining the instructions and explaining the sixfold purpose. I've never heard it, so I'm just saying that now. You have your own tape, your own internet, or hearing it. I'm not talking about around the world. I'm not around the world. I'm just saying I haven't heard it, because they don't agree. All they want to argue about is 3.5 or 7. 3.5 or 7. That's all that's been argued. They don't even see the plan of redemption. And Brother Branham, I'll give it to you in a minute, he said this is one of the most important scriptures in the book. Is Daniel 9. You know. Because he said they'll show us exactly the time. Alright? So then, that way, now I'll restate that as we go through it over and over. But let's read now Daniel 9. We'll restart reading about verse 20 and through 24. And we're not going on down into the times or the argument stage of everybody of the 25th, 26th, you know, and all of that. 27. We won't get into that. We're going to lay down a way of coming up to it. And then when we get up to it, it won't have to be explained to you what he's talking about of 3.5 or 7. See? If you'll see what I'm talking about, and I intend to bring a drawing basically when we get into the sixfold purpose, to show you the things, and we'll try to use that. But let's just start off today and then just let the Lord lead us. Verse 20. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day and your grace. Thank you for you and your love. We thank you for your word. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. And only through thy word revealed unto us can we have anything whatsoever, because we have to live by faith. Lord, we ask you now that you would just come and take over our hearts and our lives and give us understanding ears of the day that we're living. Because, Father, that's what we've been trying to do for quite a while, is to see the day and the hour, the time we are, recognizing our day and its message, Lord. So help us by this to be able to see where we're at. Forgive our sins and lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, and watch what, to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. What I done was run off a copy of the drawing that Brother Branham made on the Daniel 70 weeks. Now, if you would like to see mine, you'll see that it is plenty old enough. I don't have it out here with me, but I got it in 1968 in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And there is another drawing that they say is authentic, and I don't know, because I got mine before that one came out, but one has got a little 77 on that line coming down. Now, that's nothing to me. I don't know, and I'm not worried about it. But I'm just trying to tell you how long I've had mine, so then that way you wouldn't say that it was some touched-up drawing that was made 2 or 3 years ago or to try to prove a point. As far as I know, it was the authentic drawing that the Brother Branham made, Brother Tatum and them. We were there in 1968, and I'm sure he has his. And maybe Brother Don back there and some of the others had the drawing and all, but I've kept mine in my Bible ever since then, you know, to look at it. And that's what everybody goes and argues about this and argues about that. And it, you know, I was thinking there yesterday, I thought, Lord, it's too late to fuss and argue. It's too late to argue and gripe and complain. And really, now I'll make the statement up front, then we'll come back and see why. The 70 weeks of Daniel has nothing to do with the Gentiles. All right? And if you knew definitely it was 3.5 or it was 7, you know, whatever you knew and could prove, unless you can use that as an example to us to show something, as we'll try to do as we go along the way, then it will do you no good. You know, that would be like knowing the day the rapture would come. If we're not ready for it, what good would it be? You know that if everybody in the world today, do you know that if 365 people got together in the message and each one took one day and said, one of these years it's going to be on day one, another one day two, day three, day four, day five. You understand what I'm getting at? You know that somebody have the right day? But you know the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, so it wouldn't do you any good. But you understand my point. If 365 people got together, you'd probably have to divide that into fourth unless you reach the leap year. You know, but I'm just making the point with it. What would it do any good to know the exact date if you're not ready? Alright? See, that's the point that I want you to see throughout what I'm trying to get you to see of Daniel, that, you know, it's showing us. Now, this is what the Lord showed me, because see, you remember as we went through the mortal to immortality, we wound up talking about Revelation 4, and that was the type of the rapture. And then the bride was seen in Revelation 5, you know, sitting on the throne and around about the throne and the 24 elders and the things like that. And I should have put more time into that, because Brother Branham, if you read the Daniel 70 weeks, he starts off in Revelation 5. He starts telling you in Revelation 5 that this was the thing that would show how he done it. Now, you know, how he redeemed the bride through the revelation of the one God, the water baptism, the thing. He showed it would be by revelation. But see, the Lord showed me, said, well, you're right where. I see, I was concerned about it and thinking about from mortal to immortality. How would I go to Daniel 70 weeks? It would look like a drop back, you know, or a stopping and going on to something else. And I was praying there in the woods about it. And he said, you know, just like this, we're right there's where you're at. See? Talking of mortal immortality, what was the whole point of mortal immortality? Recognizing your day and its message. Recognizing you and who you are and what you're doing, and recognizing these things would be what would bring a rapture. You know, it would bring the rapture to pass in you and I to recognize our day and its message of who we are. You know, he said, well, we recognize, Brother Branham, that's fine, but we'll get to that as we cover throughout the series that, you know, that to just say Brother Branham brought a message. Now, we'll get to this in a little bit. I'll drop back. Remember, Daniel had a lot of visions. But something else happened. He had a lot of visions. But something else happened. All right? Now, so we got to deal with that to be able to understand. And, you know, and I'm going to take it real slow. And I wrote it at the top of the notes, and I'll probably say this on each service. I'm going to take it real slow. But then when it's finished up, maybe the Lord willing, we'll just maybe preach one, you know, couple of hour sermon upon the whole thing at one time. Because a lot of people seem to get it better like that. But if I went and told you, you know, what I believe the prophet was talking about, which I already have, on the back in 1974. Yeah. And if I went and just told you, well, I believe it's this, well, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't know what Brother Brown is talking about, especially you younger ones who haven't heard, and to a lot of people out there on the internet and things, you know, bear with me because I'm real slow. But so you just cut off and you say, well, he ain't told me what I want to know. Well, then you don't want to know about it anyway. So cut it off. You're wasting your money, you know. Cut it off and go somewhere else and listen to some of these others. But just remember one thing, and this is up front. In 1974, I proved by Brother Branham that we could pass the year 2000 as much as 2016 and not break the prophet's message nor the Bible. And I still have those tapes to prove it. When everybody else was saying it was going to be this time, it was going to be that time, I took the very book the prophet said and showed by the Holy Spirit that we could pass the year 2000 and maybe as much as 16 and still not break the prophet's message. Well, I still believe that today. But nobody wants to hear about that, because all it had their predictions of 77s and 73s and 74s and, you know, and all this, that, and the other. Where are they at today? At least I put out back there what I believed. But they'll, oh, we didn't know. Nobody else didn't either. Well, don't say that now. Don't say nobody else didn't know. That's like Billy Graham said one day. He said, the Trinity's, he said, God's not been revealed as one God or something like that. Now, he ought to put on there as far as I know. Now, I don't have no argument with him. He just should have said, as far as I know. He shouldn't have said nobody. It hadn't been revealed to nobody. Because it had been. All right? And now that is the basis of what we're going to try to get on to. But we'll try to now, as I'm telling you again, I'll give you the paragraph number, and like Gabriel's instructions, and it'll be a paragraph number. So don't try to go to a page number. If you try to follow me in the book, you'll be on the wrong page, and you'll say, well, he ain't reading it out of there. I'm just doing the best I can to bring the paragraph number to you, and that will help us to understand. But now, let's go back just a little bit and get the background for this. So drop back over to verse 1 of the 9th chapter, and let's just go through this real slow. Now, while you're turning there, Gabriel had many visions. Daniel had many visions, all right? But to me now, it was the same vision, and that's why he said vision when he said the man that appeared to him in the vision. All right? Because it's a continuation. If you'll read the book of Daniel, you'll see that it's just a continuation of the things. And I'll be glad to try to help you go through it, anybody would like. Maybe we'll take questions and answers about it or do something in the series to make sure you're following. Because he sees, Daniel sees all of the things by vision of, like, the beast rising up. He sees the Medes and Persians, the Grecians. He explains it. He sees all of the things, and then he sees the Roman Empire coming down from natural Rome through those Medes and Persians and the different things, and it comes down to Papal Rome, which is the Catholic Church. All right? And it shows the U.S. and where we're at, and craft to prosper. Under his guidance, he shows the things. The book of Daniel is the book of Revelations written in the Old Testament. But it's in visions and things, and those visions must be understood, you know. And they were given to us by the prophet. He explained those things, and I'll be glad to go with you from you know, different things to where, that if you want to have a questions about this of Daniel 1 up to 9 and read it, I don't have all the answers, but as much as I've got of the prophet, I'll be glad to help you in any way, because to me that's visions, as I said, of the United States coming into power. It's visions of the prosperous time that we're in the last days, you know, and all like that. And it's a vision of the beast rising up. It's the things of Revelation that spoke of, you know, that we see and you know, throughout the book of Revelations, because it's in symbols. Remember, Daniel is a prophet. All right? A prophet deals by visions and things. The word of the Lord comes to a prophet. And a lot of times it'll come, it'll come maybe as directly the word to be delivered. But then sometimes it'll come by visions. You know. And then visions must be interpreted to be able to understand. Now, Brother Branham, the angel of the Lord that we'll get to after a while, he come to the prophet and he had visions. But then the angel came to the prophet and explain why he was so unusual in his life and things. Because, see, that's the way God deals with the prophet. You know, they're not like you and me that has to depend upon the prophets, but they depended upon the prophets prior to them. Now, we'll get to that in a minute when we start reading down. You'll see what he's dealing, what Daniel is telling the people. Now, the story is, and if you'll go back to Jeremiah 25, you'll find that it's Jeremiah, says about 11 and 12. And I'll tell you something, if you check Scofield on it, he give it 24, 11 and 12, and it's not. It's 25, 11 and 12. I just caught that a while ago. You know, I thought, well, I can't find that. Because he gives 24, you know. In my Bible, it had 24, 11 and 12, and I get to go 24. I couldn't find it. I went 25. I said, there it is. You know, but that was just a misprint probably in what he was doing. But now listen. All of those visions and things prior is a foundation for what God is fixing to do with Daniel. Now, are you listening? Then you'll understand that why Brother Branham was the way he was, and all of the visions and all of the things that he had, the dreams, the visions, and all, was a foundation for God to come to him one day and reveal himself to him. So now, let's start reading. Now, and let me make this other statement. This is the captivity of Daniel, where they're going into captivity for 70 years. This is not Israel going into Egypt. But when you read in here, you'll hear Daniel referring back to that. This is not the going into captivity of the children of Israel. This is the 70 years they went into bondage, you know, during the time. And Jeremiah prophesied that it would be. And Daniel begins to read, and he knows, as we read, see, he knows by books and dates and times that 68 years has transpired. Right. And he knows it's time to start getting ready to get out of there. See? And probably at the time of the 68 years, nothing wasn't taking place that looked like it's fixing to go anywhere. Right? You know, nothing wasn't taking place probably because it happens evidently in a big hurry. If you'll study the book of Jeremiah and the prophecies of it, it must be something happens in a hurry to that king to set Israel free. You know, and they start back. All right, let's start reading. Chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Aharias, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. All right. Now he's told how long it's going to be. And he's referring, Daniel is referring back and studying the Jeremiah. You remember Brother Brown said, every prophet always studied the previous prophet. So Jeremiah had told him how long they'd be there. You remember, I believe, wasn't that the one where the man come up and said it'll only be down there 2 years? You know, I always thought that's kind of funny. What's the difference in 2 and 70? What was always funny to me was that Jeremiah said you'll be down there 70 years, and this guy comes up more robust. You are not going to be down there but 2 years. I mean, hey, why didn't the man run up there and say you ain't going? You know, I mean, why didn't he run out there and say you ain't going? He said, you ain't going to be down there 70, you're going to be 2. Well, my Lord, I don't want to be in captivity 2. But my point is the guy wanted seniority. He wanted to say, hey, I was the guy that said we'd just be down there 2 years, and if we get back out in 2 years, I'll be a top hit dog. You know, right? Yeah. I come up with that first. You know. Sounds like me talking to him. All right. But listen to him. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Watch. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by what now? Departing from the precepts of thy judgment. Now, if you go back to Jeremiah, you'll find Jeremiah telling the people not to do what they've done. And you don't have to go. Now we're going to read it, it'll come on down in a minute where he refers back to the prophets. But see, they rebelled even after they were told by Jeremiah not to do it. Now where does that leave you and I? Amen. Right. See? Now Daniel knew according to books that in 2 years they was going out. Now, like I said, he couldn't go outside the gate and say, well, I see a great big military people coming. Get up. They're going to take us out of here in 2 years. He couldn't see a thing. He was only taking what the prophet said. He was only believing what Jeremiah. Jeremiah he explained what would happen, but not in detail. So Daniel is saying, hey, 2 years. I believe the prophet. Now, I think that you and I, and I'm holding up a spoken word book on tape to the people, I think it's about time that we understood by books.
Amen. There you go. Amen.
You know what?
Right.
By Brother Branham's message.
Right.
By books. You know. We've been given books that describe the day and the hour that we're living.
Right.
We've been given sermons to show that the walls would go down in the Bible there. You know, I mean the tower and would happen. You know, and all of those things. We've seen them in the Bible. The prophet said that the walls of over there of Berlin would go down way back before it went down. And he said then the old Roman Empire would be back in the same, you know, locality.
Right.
We've seen by books Russia would come after oil.
Right.
We've seen by books that Israel would be compassed on every side. We've seen by books that that we would turn against Israel, and if we turn against Israel, that we're in bad shape.
Right.
And we see what's happening around the world today, and happening especially here in the United States, of all of these hurricanes and things that have struck us, and all of this bad weather across the United States, where one place is dry, the other place is wet, and all kind of things. I think it's about time we understand we're in the last days. That's not talking about 2 years, because you can't understand it like that. That was time back there that they were told that it was going to be so many years. We're not told how many days, how many hours, how many weeks or months. We're not given, Gentiles are not given a time element. Sure, God has one, but He hasn't revealed it to us. But when these things begin to come to pass, the Bible says. When these things begin to happen around the world, what? The end is here. That's not saying how long. I'm not worried about how long. I'm worried about getting ready. So Daniel was praying for himself and for his people. And Brother Branham said, I'll read it to you in a minute, where he said that Daniel survived all of that 68 years, said he was just a kid when he went into captivity, but said he survived 68 years without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you and I can't survive for a week without it, or a day, or an hour, or a second. You know what I mean? Sometimes God takes His flight away from us. Right? He didn't promise that He'd always be. I ain't talking about the Holy Ghost going out of your soul now. I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Ghost sometimes leaves us for a while to let us walk and see what we'll do. See? And Daniel didn't even have that much to where he could depend upon the new birth because he didn't have it. He didn't have something to where he could say, I know within inside of me I'm all right. He was still dealing with all of that inside, outside, and whatever you want to make it. But yet he stayed true to God's word. You know what he stayed true to? We're going to read it. He stayed true to what the prophet said. Have we stayed true to what the prophet said in this day? All right. Now what? Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. Now watch it. Which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Now Daniel said, we haven't hearkened. That's the reason we're down here. The reason we're here is because we haven't listened to the prophets. If we'd have listened to Daniel, to Jeremiah, we wouldn't be here. If we'd listened to Jeremiah, we would have done what's right. Read Jeremiah. He offered the people an opportunity to not have to be put in bondage. And Daniel said, if we'd have just listened to the prophets, listen to those who spoke in the name of the Lord before us. All right. And watch it. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries with whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. What was their trespass? It's like I tried to get you to see one time where it says that the children of Israel griped and complained and murmured 10 times in their journey going from crossing the Red Sea and leaving out of Egypt. 10 times. But God says, let's go. We're heading to the promised land. Let's go. We're going to the promised land. Sure, he'd kill a bunch of them. Let's go. We're heading to the promised land. Take them on, Moses. But when they got to Kadesh Barnea, and when they would not believe the report that Joshua and Caleb gave, and Moses didn't need that report. You know that report was sent down there purely for the purpose of trying to get them people to believe, to where they could see what was over there on the other side. You think Moses needed to send them over there? That was for their benefit that he sent them. The proof to them that the land was ready and everything was there. But oh, we can't take it. That was the sin when they disbelieved the prophets. They went into the wilderness. Right? They went into destruction until all the old ones died off before they could come back and go to the promised land. How come you think we've been 40 years? This coming December, what, about the 24th or 25th, or what it is, when Brother Branham died, we've been 40 years? You know why? Because we don't believe what the prophet said. You say, Brother Dale. I said we. I didn't say you. I said we. The reason we're here today is because that we have come to a place now, to Kadesh Barnea. Did the prophet say that's our judgment seat? And you know, if we don't go over now, there ain't no 40 years in the wilderness to take care of this thing. It's a slaughter coming to destroy. And that's where our trouble's at. Right? So now watch. And watch what he says about it now. Let's read that verse over again. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all of the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, have they trespassed against thee. What about drive them out and they just keep doing it? Right? Is that what he's saying? You drove them out, they're still doing it. Yes. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Now I keep emphasizing, what did they sin against? They sinned against believing Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah, read the book of Jeremiah, he offered them an opportunity to not go into judgment. He warned them. But they would not heed his warning. This prophet has warned us over and over. And what do we keep doing? Well, I thought you were going to tell us about 7 or 3.5. I want to know about 70 weeks. I don't want all this lecture. You better realize, folks, where we're at. Daniel got serious. Without the Holy Ghost, the man got serious about going out of bondage. And he was fasting and praying about getting out of bondage. We better get serious. All right? Now listen. Well, let's just keep on reading to her point, and then I'll drop back on. Verse 9. to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. Now watch. Only in Him now, so read it. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. So now what's Daniel saying? To me, he's saying like Job. You know, Job, he saw the grass, the things that come back and all, but he saw a man that dies and goes away and he sees him not. He said that, I would just like to be able, in other words, paraphrasing it in our language today, I'd just like to be able to go up to heaven or a door or something and knock on the door, you know, and be able to get an audience with God. And especially to be able to find somebody that could take my hand and God's hand. You heard the prophet make them words, right? To be able to stand between me and God to bring this together to where that I can understand. And that's exactly what Daniel is saying there. He said, to you, Lord, now belongs mercy and righteousness. In other words, only you can save us even though we've rebelled. So now come and you know, come down. Now watch. But then he goes right back, watching, verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even what, now what? Even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Now where was His voice? In the prophets.
Right.
So now he's putting the whole thing upon what I said. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. Now go back and study Moses and what he told them people. I set before you life and death, good and evil. Choose life and live. Choose wrong and die. See? He's lining up with all that Moses had to say about it. All right, go on down now. And He hath confirmed His words, which He spake against us. Why? Because it's down in bondage, right? Because that's where He said this going. And against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. In other words, we're due punishment. We're getting our punishment. We're in bondage. Listen. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. What's now? Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God. They still didn't turn to people. Now listen to what I'm saying. I wonder how many people they was in bondage. If it was 1,000, or if it was 10,000, or 1,000,000 or 2, that was in bondage. You understand what I'm saying? If it was just 1,000, we know it was the whole nation was in bondage, right? Because they went in bondage for the 70 years. But you know, they wasn't but one man. That was concerned about getting out. Now you know what I'm fixing to say is true. That in a day and time when there was millions of so-called Christians, but where did you ever hear any of them trying to deal with getting us out of here, out of the situation we're in, outside of Brother Branham? They're all happy with their gifts and their doings and this and other and all the things and the prosperities. The million more than 44. There's one man. But you know what? God heard one man. Right? He didn't confess just his own sins. That wouldn't have helped the rest of them. But God looked down and saw one man with a right heart, and knowing that he would not just be praying for his own sin, but he'd be praying for the sins of the people, you know what? And God hears him. That's why I don't have to worry about it, because I know that God done heard this end time prophet. We shouldn't have any problems worried about it. That's what I tried to preach in the series of mortal immortality. We've had the message delivered unto us. All we got to do is believe it, and the message is God himself. Listen to this life's message as Brother Richard preached. We was listening to him last night, where he said the resurrection is not walking out to the graveyard. Well, we'd agree with that. But here's a statement he made, and you better listen real close, because you'll misunderstand. He said the bride is not going to call the dead. Oh, Brother Branham said, that's what I said. Listen to the rest of the message. He said, we've already called them. He said, the message we've received is the very sound of the shout, the voice of the archangel, and all. It's already among us. The voice of the resurrection is here. We don't have to call the dead. The message is what will call the dead. The message that you and I have already brought. That's why that I said, when the Lord showed me that, I thought, I can't go into that 70 weeks. That would be backing up, Lord. He said, no, it's going forward to the next step of my journey. The next thing that's to transpire is going to Israel. We're looking for the voice of the resurrection. The prophet said the Lord himself should ascend from heaven with a shout. That was the voice of the resurrection. It's not us all getting together one of these days and saying, let's go call the dead. No, the dead's going to walk right among us. And it'll probably be a surprise. Because remember, when the dead comes among you, you ain't changed. Because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. To me, that's what that supercharge is going to be that'll take you into the change. Is when you see the dead walk among you, you know it can't be but 30, 40 days. Maybe that's the wrong word to use, supercharged, but we live in a day, you know, of supersize and all this, that, and the other. But listen, church. He's confirmed his word. He's taken care of everything. What? As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet, may we not have prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Now what's the first seal dealing with? The mystery of iniquity. But yet have we got worse in our lives? Has it come to the basis now that we can just be about anything, but we're still in the message? I ain't preaching somewhere else now, folks. I'm talking to you and me. It's come to the place now where the Bible said everybody does what they think's right in their own eyes. Right? In our own eyes, we come up with our excuses for what we're doing, whether it be missing church or whether it be something we do wrong. We find an excuse. And then we prop it up with the Word and say, God told me to do that. Now, you can't go contrary to God's Word. I don't care what the hoot you say. God's Word is God's Word. When the Bible says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, then you say, the Lord told me to go. It better be somewhere to church. You know? That's what a brother told me, a certain brother told me about deer hunting. He could hunt on Sunday if he wanted to. I said, do what you want to. I'm as plain as blunt, and I said, I'm saying it to you. I said, don't you ever expect to kill that deer on Sunday because you are violating God's word for this forsaking of the assembling of yourself together. And I said, you won't get it on Sunday. Because that's blunt. You can't violate God's word and make his promise. Well, the brother said, it don't make no difference what time of the year I get it. I said, according to the prophet, we must obey the laws of the land. I said, I know that God's word is not controlled by laws of the land, but you and I are Christians trying to be an example. That didn't suit too good, but that's all right. I don't have no problems. I just be what I am. Everybody thinks I'm wishy-washy, but you find out generally later that I have made a lot of statements to people. Whether they make it right or not, that's their business. Just because I don't scream and holler at you to make the statement, just because I just walk away from you sometimes, that might be different. Go ahead. I'm trying to get you to see one thing. What's now verse, while we're at verse 14? Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. Now Daniel is not blaming God for bringing all the troubles. Well, I wonder why all of this is upon me. I've been so good. Listen. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt. Now see, he's referring back now to the other times. See, with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown at this day. See, he was still in control and saying it. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. See, he's referring all the way back to coming out of Egypt. But he knows that coming out of Egypt, you walk out there to that king and said, God brought us out of Egypt. And the king said, you better go back to work. Well, God brought us out of Egypt. He said, yeah, but he ain't brought you out of here yet. You don't do everything just because of something behind you. You got to have something for your own self. Oh, Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now what's he doing? Now didn't Brother Branham say, if you can't see Christ in every verse in the Bible, go back and read it again? Was that his statement? Now can you see Christ right there? If you can't, I'll give you a little key. One day God was fixing to destroy a bunch of people, and a man named Moses said, Lord, if you kill these people, said, the people around us are going to say that God was able to bring out of Egypt, but not able to take them into the land. And said, it's going to become a reproach. And God said, okay, Moses, I made my promise, you're going to the land, I'll keep my promise. I'll visit them when I visit them, but I'll keep my promise. Because you just reminded me of what I said I'd do. Isn't this what Daniel's doing? Let's reread that. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. And remember what I said a while ago, he wants somebody. And we're fixing to read a verse in a minute to confirm this. He wants somebody. And right about this time, he's beginning to realize that somebody is on the way. Now, if you'll go back, you'll find in chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 somewhere. You remember when Gabriel was coming to go to Daniel? He said, I've been fighting 21 days, that old devil. And said, Michael, thine prince came. That may be the 12th chapter, but anyhow, it fits in totally. Said, he come to my rescue where I come to you. In other words, when the first chapter of Daniel started, that where you see all of the visions of the bad, God was already raised up heading towards Daniel. Are you listening? He didn't wait until he got on over there. That's what caused all this trouble.
What caused you to get in trouble, Danny? What caused this sickness to come upon all of us today? What's he fighting? These bodies. That devil, he come down, boy, he's tackling these bodies. Why? Because he knows God's already on the scene. Right, Brother Ray? He knows God has come on the scene. And he's upset. If we believe we're in the end time, we ought to believe the Bible that says that Satan knows he's got just a little season. Now, he knows what the prophet said, and he believes what the prophet said. Because he knows he's got just a little season. He reads the books too, you know. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, remember what's happened. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. You know what really happens? The Spirit of the Lord is the one that's coming towards you, and the devil is the one that gets upset. Wasn't that what it was in the book of Job? Have you considered my servant Job? Wasn't that what took place? So just remember, God was already on his road down. Daniel just didn't realize it. It took all of the visions, all of the things of Daniel's journey to bring him to a place that he could comprehend what was fixing to take place. Because he was fixing to get something special, more than a vision. Man, I thought I'd have this over in a hurry. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee. Let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem. He reminded him of his city. Thy holy mountain, remind him of his holy mountain. We know there ain't no holy mountain, there's only God on the mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O Lord, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. Listen, for the Lord's sake. You understand what I'm saying? He's looking for somebody. Come on the scene. He's reminding God. That's what I love about it when that little, you know, that little woman's come to Jesus. Finally said, Lord, called him Son of David, and he didn't stop. And then finally called him Lord, and he stopped. What did Jesus say to her? Not right for me to take the children's bread and give them to the dogs. She said, yeah, but. Said, the dogs get the crumbs that falls off the master's table. He said, I've never seen so much faith in Israel. What was he saying? What was that? Dogs and crumbs. What was he talking about? She reminded him that there was going to be a Gentile dispensation that would come forth and us dogs would come into the kingdom. He looked at her and he said, oh, I see it. Here you got your healing. See, that's what Daniel's doing now. Because Daniel being a prophet, he's able to go before God. Go back out where Moses and them at another time when there was a plague striking the people. And Moses told Aaron, Aaron, grab your censer. The very thing, the fire that had fell and all the things that had happened. Grab your censer. Run among the children. Said, pre-adventure, maybe to make an atonement. And that censer running among them people, God stopped his plague. You know those vessels, I was listening to that the other day, going down to hunting. You know those vessels were thought so much of in all of their doings until even the 250 priests that took censers, remember them? When they, Moses, we're spiritual too, you know. The earth swallowed up the people, but the fire got the 250 priests. Go read and see what they've done with the censers. You know, the carriers, the chargers, is that what you call it? They wouldn't throw it away. It was taken and used in another form. See, God honors his word. Oh, if you and I could, you know, listen. Verse 17, now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. Even Balaam
knew how to go before God, and God honored his offering and gave him an opportunity to talk to him. You think those prophets don't know what's going on? You remember how I tried to explain it one time about it, and the brother the other day was talking about it? See, Balaam couldn't curse Israel. You remember the other week? But he knew if he got him mixed up with them Moabite women, that God had cursed him. So that was that smart, shrewd prophet. Well, you think if he was that smart and shrewd, how much was a true one? Daniel knew how to approach God. Listen. Oh, my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city, listen, which is called by thy name. Reminded him of his name and his city and thing. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now, do you remember a little key that I told you in the Bible? I preached it up Brother Biscoe back a few years ago, you remember? Look at that word Lord there. Look back up above there to where it says the Lord was speaking to Daniel. And see if it ain't total capital letter. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, somewhere right in there. Now look what he says. He's beginning to find something that he's looking for. He says, O Lord, verse 10, he talks about the Lord our God, total capital, Lord. Now, God is still in the small case because it's what he's doing. But remember what I said? If you find a capital letter Lord and the capital word Lord, or you find a capital God, capital word God, that means God of heaven is speaking. But when you find it in the lower case, like the small L, even though it is still a large case of L, or a pretty good, you know, a medium case instead of being the little Lord, it still means that God has come down to earth. So Daniel realizes and he says, Oh Lord! Not God of heaven! But he's saying, Oh Lord! In other words, I found somebody that can stand between. I found them. Listen. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, oh my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. He's reminding him of it. It's what I said, people, all they want to know about Daniel 70 weeks is 3.5 or 7. They don't want to see the great thing that is taking place. Daniel in prayer is bringing God on the scene. Brother Branham in prayer brought God on the scene. See, now I'll have to wait till this evening, but I'll try to get part of it. Listen, now we're right where we started at. Listen. Now remember, look up there what you're looking at, verse 19, where it's a lower case than the one up in verse 10. Now he's found somebody. Now watch what he does. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, the Lord does total capital letters because he knows who he's praying to. He says, while I was doing that, watch him. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, he didn't have any trouble calling him a man. Oh. A man? Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. If I go any further, I'll have to touch into the rest of the message, and I can't. So I'll just have to stop, and then we'll take it up this evening. Do you understand the point I'm trying to bring? Then we'll bring it up this evening into a higher order of understanding. Daniel knows that even his prayers will not deliver Israel. But he knows by supplication and fasting that he can go before God. And he's trying to find someone to stand in. Some way to make contact. To know that God would hear. To know he's not looking for what you and I think, or maybe your thoughts and mind is, we'll get to it this evening. He's looking like Job. Someone who can stand in. Someone who can go between him and God. And he knows that would be the Lord. So he starts calling out to the Lord. The Lord starts coming on the scene. Amen. Then Daniel, he begins to see that if I can just talk to this man, if I can just talk to this Lord, now don't mess up with what I'm saying now. Don't run your minds. You'll get your gears all stripped. Because the man Gabriel is the man that come to him. And I'm not talking about Gabriel being Christ. Michael was Christ. But you better remember, Michael had to fight the battle before Daniel could get there. Yeah, before Gabriel could come to Daniel. Michael had to fight the battle. And Michael is Christ. And Christ is the Lord. So now Gabriel has found the man. The one he needs to connect between him and Almighty, capital L-O-R-D. He said, oh man, you're Trinitarian. Well, just explain the Bible your way then. Let me ask you a few questions about it. Because see, I don't have any trouble where it says the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, said unto my Lord in a lowercase L-O-R-D, and knowing both of them are Almighty God. But it's the form that he's in, because one of them is the Christ and the other one is God himself. That's what I tried to get you to see for a long time there preaching about. When you see those capital letters, remember the very God of glory. And that's why in the New Testament there's only one time the word God is capitalized. And that's Hebrews 1. God in sundry times in diverse manner. That's in total capital letters. The rest of the time it's in a smaller, lower case. A mid-case, if you want to call it. But listen, church, Daniel has now found somebody. Have you prayed enough to find somebody? You need healing? What do? You pray. Right? Until what happens? What are you doing? You pray until what happens? Right. Until God comes on the scene. Amen. To you. Right. Now don't misunderstand this, but a great God of glory in eternity can't heal you. Boy, that'll get a good one. He had to come downward to be able to heal. Because in him there was nothing to be lost or whatsoever.
You had to move it down into a lower case to where another form called the Word, the Christ, the Son, that then that He could be and have all the attributes displayed. Sure, all the attributes within the eternal God, but they couldn't be displayed. So when He began to move this away, you remember the message that I preached on it? When He began to move this away, study your Bible, the great God do this, but then when He moves this away, it comes into a lower case. Then you look at Lord Jesus Christ. And none of that is in what you would call total capital form. It's all in a mid-case. Why? Because He was God Almighty revealed in flesh. Born this day in the city of David is the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's why I can't believe what all these brothers are preaching about River Jordan and things like that, because the Bible said He was born Lord to Christ. Amen. He was born Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was born Almighty God. Amen. But He was in a form. A form. Daniel prays until one comes his way. But just remember what I said. Daniel says, the one I saw in a vision in the beginning. Go back to the 8th chapter, I think it is, where he sees Gabriel in a vision. There's a lot of difference in a vision and a personal experience. Visions are one thing. Experiences is another. A vision can't heal you. Takes God to heal you. Think on these things. Come on, Brother D. Have we prayed and sought God? And you know what I've told you, and I've tried my best to explain it to you, and I know people don't understand. I'm not a prayer warrior like even some of you are that gets down and prays and prays and prays. But the Bible says for to pray without ceasing.
That's right.
I can sit down in the woods on a deer stand and look around and see deer walking by. Squirrels are playing and birds are flying, and just sit there and just pray like everything to God and call your name and ask Him to touch you. And never even outwardly say a word. There's some people that are just prayer warriors. Brother Random was even explaining. I believe he said James, or one of them, was a prayer warrior. He was explaining those things. There are people of that way. Who was it? Moody or was? Went into the cities. He'd always put a man under the bridge. It was a prayer warrior. He'd call him, put him on the bridge. Let him pray that everybody passed over that bridge, come in that city, be healed or saved. Brother Brown said people like Ben Bright and him laying back there in the woods praying for me. He said, that's why I can stand here. He believed in it. But you can pray without ceasing. You can be in the right prayerful attitude all the time. While you're working. While you're hunting. While you're fishing. Singing. Doing whatever. Let's stand together.
Number 38.
Anybody have a need? But just remember, Daniel found the man.
I am thine,
O Lord, I have heard thy voice,
and
hold thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Do you? Have you prayed? Brother Branham went to pray for a little baby, and I believe it was Dr. Bosworth, because it sounded exactly like him in the story. Some people said it was, but anyhow, you remember the little girl come in and said there'd never been a person went that far with the heart going down and ever come back. He said, young lady, you're looking at what you've been taught. You're looking at the symptoms and things.
He said, I just went. And he said, I prayed through. And said, I prayed all of my sins away. And said, I prayed through. And said, I'm saying that child won't die. And it did. How long has it been since you prayed through? How long has it been since you've confessed your sins? Oh, look, Lord, I don't have no sin. That's the biggest sinner in the building. I'll tell you up front, you're the biggest sinner in the building if you think that. The only way that I don't have any sin is for me to stand in Christ. That's the one I'm calling on the scene. I'm calling for somebody to take my hand between me and an eternal God. Carry me forth right into the throne of mercy. They say it's on the internet back there. I hadn't looked at it, but it's on the news. That now the Catholics got an image out yonder somewhere that started out crying out of one eye, out of a statue, that now blood's running out of it. Oh, the whole world just, oh, glory. And yet we hear the gospel preached. Yet we hear the truth preached. And what do we say? Remember the reason Christ came today to Daniel was because he prayed through. He confessed his sins, and not only his sins, but the sins of the people. Now, what we do most of the time, listen, most of the time we pray for the sins of the people. How often do we pray for our own sins? How often do we confess our sins? See, church, that's why I don't look down on sinners. I don't look down on people that do wrong. You laugh and make fun of them and everything. I don't look down on people. We make jokes about people and all, but I don't look down on people. I told you I'd go see that man that I just even just joking with him. I told him the other day, I said, Randall, I was wrong. I'm sorry. He said, for what? I said, I shouldn't have been cutting up about saying your head was hard. He said, it is. I said, well, I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. He said, Sam, I like to hunt with you guys. He said, I like to hunt. That was an answer back to what I'd say. He said, I like to hunt with you guys. Because he knows we don't look down on him. Remember, you try to look down on somebody, there's always somebody looking down on you. Holy, holy. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 holy. That's what those angels sung. God loved it. He don't never make them quit singing. Just sing that as your only way out. Holy, holy, holy. Oh,